Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to the pit, politics in trucking. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be throwing out the issue of the day and then taking your calls and refereeing the discussion for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that takes the political topics of importance and relates them to the trucking industry. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to the pit, and here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember, to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to the pit. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa Campbell is here screening your calls. If you want to jump in and join us, press 1 on your phone. Lisa will screen your call and we'll get right to you. If you're listening online and you want to join us, the number to call, 347-884-8327. We've got some lines open that will get you in on the conference call, and you can jump in with your question, topic, opinion, whatever it may be. I got to tell you that after a week at the truck show, and we are so far behind on so many projects, I am unprepared tonight. So it's going to be a fun night, wide open, anything you want to talk about. I have a couple topics, but not a lot of real in-depth stuff, so we can make it whatever you want to talk about. Before I get to anything, I'm going to go to the official Let's Truck Fair Tax Ambassador, and I'm going to bring him right on because I understand we are interrupting an important engagement tonight. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, see the responsibilities that... Good. We missed you there, though.
Yeah, I wish I could have made it. I got tied up in a project in Texas doing some local shuttle work, and I just could not get up there.
Well, you got to take work where you can get it.
I hear you.
So
I heard you say you're behind because of the show and everything. Did you happen to get the email I sent you recently?
I did.
With the tax question. Are you prepared to talk about that?
I am. And you know...
Okay, well, I was kind of hesitant to bring it up.
No, not at all. And I understand, you know, there's so much in the fair tax and so many issues, and this is a tough one for me, too, and I've thought about it a couple times, and I'm not sure there's any way around this.
Okay, well, let's not keep everybody in the dark as to what we're talking about. In my researching on the fair tax and just everything I see and read about just gets me more and more excited about the prospect of it and what it could do for our nation as a whole and for each of us individually. And I came across something a short while ago about how Social Security gets handled.
Right.
And it's the fair tax is replacing all federal income tax, including Social Security.
And Medicare.
And one of the things that I really like about the whole concept of the fair tax is it just gets the federal government out of our lives. We're no longer reporting to them on a periodic basis, how much money we make, how we made it, and just telling them stuff is it's not any of their business. But when I got down to studying the Social Security aspect of it, it appears that employers are still going to have to report the earnings of their employees so that when the time comes for those employees to retire, the government will know what they're due in Social Security based on their earnings. I found that it's kind of a negative thing that I wasn't real happy about, that any of us that consider ourselves employers are still going to have to be reporting on behalf of employees to the federal government. And it's for the sake of not taxing, but for the sake of benefits.
Correct.
Is my take on that correct? Because I went back to look at that again yesterday and couldn't find it where I had read that. But take on that correct as far as you know?
It is correct, and I know I've seen it somewhere, but I can't remember where it is either. And, you know, I love the idea. You know, as an employer, I've got to go through this every week. You know, we've got to do control. We have all the forms to file. We, you know, every couple of weeks I have to do reconciliations and I have to send my tax payments. And, you know, at least I've got it all set up electronically. But it's still a major headache. And I hate the fact that an employer has anything to do with tax, period. As Americans, we should all just be responsible for paying our own tax, whatever the system happens to be. So I love the part.
And under the fair tax, we will be responsible for paying our own tax.
And
you will still have to report.
Right. And that's the tough part about this for me. Now, if I had my way, and, you know, we can only take this one step at a time.
Right.
Why don't we just eliminate Social Security?
Oh, absolutely, and all the other unconstitutional programs that we've let slip under the under the radar over the generations. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see that.
There's so many who have become dependent upon that, which it never was intended to be the sole source of retirement income, but that's what it has become, and it would be not only politically unwise, but just really unfair to just jerk that rug out from under people like me who are approaching retirement and have been paying it all my life,
Well, exactly. So even if we did manage to get Social Security changed, it's going to take a long, gradual phase out period. So no matter how we slice this, Social Security is going to be around for, quite some time. And there has to be a way to report it. And I don't know any other way, because Social Security is based on our things. I don't know any other way to get that information to the government other than, requiring the employer to do it.
Well, I have an idea, but nobody's, asked me for my idea. they spent millions of dollars developing this proposal, and I'm sure they considered every possibility, but it would seem to me that if I want to participate in the Social Security system, then it should be up to me to report the earnings if I want my earnings reported, instead of you reporting my earnings against my will. I mean, I want the federal government to know how much money I make, whether I get my Social Security benefits or not. So it seems like that might be the next step, would be making it voluntary instead of doing away with it. And that way, the employee could choose whether or not he wanted to report his earnings, and I guess the employer would just be required to have a government approved form to report the earnings to the employee, that the employee could decide whether or not to turn around and report to the federal government. I know this is getting a little bit deeper into the minutia than we really need to, but I've got my radar up. I want to, because I'm always looking for the downside, because the whole thing sounds too good, and it still does. Even with this, to me, this is nowhere near a deal breaker.
No,
just one negative aspect of it.
I'm okay with each individual reporting. I would even be okay, and I'd have to sit down and put some numbers to it to see what would work, but I'd love to just be able to opt out of the system. I'm getting to the point where, if I were 25 or 30, I'd love to be able to opt out of the system. After 40, you start saying, well, I'd like to opt out of the system, but I've got a lot of damn money in there. So, if I were 30, I'd say, look, just let me out. You can keep all the money I've contributed. I don't want anything back from you. Just let me out. At 40,
right,
I might even do it.
Once you get past that, though.
Yeah.
But the thing about the fair tax, that we're all going to be paying it, it'd be kind of hard to opt out of it because we're going to be paying into it every time you make a purchase.
For now.
But you might get opt out of the benefit part of it.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometime down the road, we reduce the Social Security part of the fair tax and then make it totally voluntary. You just do your own retirement plan.
Yeah, somehow
Kevin,
it out.
I hate to do this to you, but I promised my wife that I was going to, you know, that I needed 5 minutes to do this.
Okay.
And my time's up.
Your time is up. See the responsibilities that come with being the fair tax ambassador, though?
But the compensation makes it so worth it.
That's right. Hey, I really
Kevin,
appreciate it.
Have a great night.
All right. I appreciate you taking time away from dinner to come talk to us about it. And that is probably one of the negatives that I see from the fair tax, is there is still some employer responsibilities as far as reporting payroll. But boy, I'll tell you what, being an employer, and I've been an employer for 24, almost 25 years now, and I've done payroll tax for the majority of that time, and what a hassle. It would be a joy to have to do nothing except report income, because I'd really only have to do it once a year. Big deal. Or no, I'd only have to do it once a year. That would be the only requirement. So not that big of a deal. I've got a couple topics, but I also see that we've got some people that want to jump in. If you're on the line and you've got a question, an opinion, a topic you want to talk about, whatever it might be, press 1. Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get right to you. If you are listening online and you want to join us, the number is 347-884-8327. Let's see. Let's head off to, you know what? Let's talk to one of the Let's Truck Political Junkies. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Evening, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. I don't know why Huey's worried about Social Security. It ain't going to be there much longer anyway.
Well, you know, that's
more than it's bringing in.
Yeah, not only that, but top health care, pile health care on top of it, and it's one more. And we all know this, and the numbers are so big and it's so complex that Social Security, when it was solvent, was a giant slush fund that they moved money around in at random, and we never really know what they're doing with it. And the more money the government has control of, the more fraud and waste and abuse and numbers playing they can do. So now give them all this health care money, and we will never be able to figure it out. But eventually, the money will just run out. The so-called rich can't continue to pay for this stuff.
And they won't continue to pay for it either. John Galt's calling.
It's time for the big shrug.
Yep, it is time for the big shrug. I'd just like to put out a challenge to the audience that if they've got any videos of right-wing extremists spitting, saying the N-word or whatever, to post them on the site, because I've got plenty of the left doing it.
Oh, so you mean that, you know, the whole right being called the radical right and violent and all those things, yeah.
Yeah, we kind of forget about Chicago and Seattle and L.A. with the truck driver getting drug out of his truck right there in full plain sight, you know?
Yeah.
The silent majority is done being silent, and the left don't like that we're talking.
No, they don't. And you know, I don't ever remember a time in my life with such a huge divide. The funny thing is, as political as I am on, you know, the show and on the website, most of the time in public when I'm meeting new people or that. I usually keep my politics to myself. It's, you know, until I get to know somebody.
I don't know more.
But here's what I'm finding, though. I'm finding that more and more people, within minutes of meeting somebody, they want to talk politics. You know, and the other thing that I'm finding interesting, though, is that before I even get a chance to talk about my politics, they're talking about theirs, and I'm not running into very many people who are left of center.
No, because we are a center-right nation. No matter how many times ABC says we're left, we are a center-right.
Well, I don't know if it's just the places that, you know, and I'm not hanging out under giant banners that say, you know, conservatives meet here. I'm meeting people all over the place, and I'm still surprised. And, you know, being in Florida this time of the year and in Daytona, I'll tell you what I've been meeting a lot of are a lot of retired or semi-retired Canadians. And I got to tell you, I haven't found one of them yet that likes their healthcare system.
I know, you know, I like Red Delta a lot, and I know it's his pride getting hurt. But the news stories and their newspapers, are they lying to us? You know, I'm getting the healthcare stories from their newspapers about people going without treatment. Their prime ministers are coming down here for treatment. Where are we going to go when the healthcare kicks in 2014. Where are we going to go? Costa Rica?
Well, you know,
I'm
actually looking at some places. Costa Rica, India, Thailand.
India?
And, you know, our first impression of those places is, you know, kind of third world. But they've been creating medical facilities over there that are absolutely top notch. Many of the doctors are U.S. trained anyway.
Right.
They have got some unbelievable, you know, you get top of the line, high tech private rooms, top of the line doctors and staff at 1/5 of the price of what we pay here, because their systems over there are completely free market. How ironic is that?
Yeah, exactly. I've said it before, we have not had a conservative government in decades.
No, we haven't.
I mean, we almost got one in 94, but it only lasted a few years before the Democrats started following people with scanners.
Yeah, well, and we haven't had a free market for a very, very long time in any industry.
No, we haven't. And it's time we get back to the basics of what made this country so great. I'm not embarrassed to say that this is the only place I'd want to live in the world.
Yep, me too.
As long as we can keep it in the center or a little bit right of center. I don't want to live here if it goes like European. If it turns into a European-style government, I'll just go to Europe where they've already got it figured out.
Well, yeah. I you know, because it's going to be an ugly – it's already an ugly transition here. You know – looking at some numbers, this is a pretty simple number. It's easy to get lost in numbers, and everybody has statistics, but this one's pretty simple to see what's happened in the last couple of years during the recession and what's been going on. The private sector, since late 2007, lost 8 million jobs.
Right.
We know that. We see it. You see it every day. We saw it in this industry. And yet, during that same
part.
Yeah, during that same time frame, government payroll added 100,000 people.
Right, and that is a drag on our economy.
How does that happen?
Big drag.
How can we lose 8 million jobs in the private sector and manage to add 100,000 in the government sector?
Somebody's trying to control us. 16,000 new IRS agents and zero doctors. But it was all about health care.
Yeah. You know, the whole IRS thing is just kind of scary. I have to say that, you know, timing for the truck show for me this year was kind of rough, because right after they passed this, when I really wanted to do some reading and see what's been going on, I've had zero time. And for me, zero time means I only get to read about an hour a day right now, where normally I probably read three or four. So I feel like I'm a little behind. But the one thing that I've noticed, and I don't even remember, you know, there was so much in the healthcare bill and there was so much we didn't get to see, but I've been noticing all the huge accounting write-offs that these big companies are forced to take because of the whole retiree benefits.
Exactly, and now Waxman is dragging their butts in front of him and demanding why they said that, and they are forced by law to say that, you know, the reporting. They have to tell their stockholders where their money's going.
Absolutely, and this is a huge hit. Yeah, you know, and this comes back to the fair tax, because the reason they have to take this is because of a tax write-off.
Right.
You know, it gets complicated because it's tied into taxes, but you're absolutely right. They have to report it. They have no choice, and they have to take this, and it's going to cost them a ton of money.
Was it AT&T that has a $1 billion with a B write-off?
I think it was. There are probably, you know, I think 15 really major employers that I've read some reports on just real quick. I skimmed them. But what happens
are we when the Congress can demand that a private industry come explain itself when that private industry is following the law of the SEC, FEC,
SEC, right.
And
the IRS.
In the IRS.
I mean,
Congressmen don't like that.
Yeah, they don't like it because it looks bad for this health care, and this health care is bad. You know, they kept saying that, oh, wait until this passes, and the more you see of it, the more you're going to like it.
You know,
what a bunch of
$100 million buyout to the union medical plan. $108 million going to the UAW.
You know, the next thing I'm really afraid of is card check.
It's coming.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a freight train, and we're trying to be the brakes, but the brakes are getting burned out.
Well, you know what's scary is that they still hold the majority. They can still pass almost anything they want, and now they're actually using that as a strategy, saying, look, you know, you're screwed. Your career is screwed anyway. Because we passed this health care bill, nobody wanted it. Your political career, let's go out with a bang. Let's pass every weekend before November.
Yep, and they're going to do it, too.
Amnesty.
Is coming. Card check is coming. I heard today he's thinking about writing an executive order to pass cap and trade, or cap and tax.
Cap and tax.
Cap and tax.
Unbelievable.
He's definitely wanting to turn us into a third world nation. I believe it in my heart, because if you remember what Madeleine Albright said, is it is unfair for America to be so great while there are third world nations out there. We have to even the playing field. Well, instead of bringing up the other countries, we're going to drop ours.
That is probably the most dangerous phrase in the English language. I'm so tired of hearing it. We've been trying to do it for years in the schools. This whole level the playing field, what a stupid philosophy that is.
Nothing to strive for.
All you do when you claim to level the playing field is you bring the very best down. We never bring anybody up in that process. We never raise anybody. We never challenge anybody. We never improve anybody. We always bring people down. We never bring them up. Unbelievable.
Well,
all right, before I let you go, other than our area, what was your favorite part of the truck show?
Well, I loved Outlaw Customs truck with that custom bar.
Oh yeah.
I just went out to the Pride and Beauty. Trucker's Charity was my second favorite. I spent
good
amount of time over there. And hey, did you see that new locking washer? It's called Norlock. It's a two-piece washer. That's cool.
No, I didn't see that.
They got it on lug nuts, too. Once you tighten it down, it is not going to come loose again without a wrench.
Huh. No, I didn't. I didn't get to see anything at the truck show. I mean, all I got to see was our area.
You did. You got to test out a nice mattress.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. that was nice.
Yeah, that Sandy just yelled at me. Yeah, we got pictures.
All right.
I'll let somebody else get in here.
Okay, good talking to you. Let's see. Let's head to Joplin this time. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Kevin.
You're welcome. What's on your mind tonight?
This is the regards to the Thursday night call. Weeks ago, that Mark Porter.
Yeah.
You got to think. Not too many owner operators know their costs. He knew his costs. He knew he was working for minimum wage, or less than minimum wage, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was never clear. Is he an owner operator or a company driver? Not that it matters, but
I'm
not sure.
His cost.
I wasn't clear on who the product was targeted to. And really what started all of this was the fact that I kept seeing the product being referenced on my website, and he had the videos on his page on my website. And when I watched the videos, I was more confused than before. So my whole point was that I reviewed the marketing of the product, not the product itself, because I couldn't figure out what the product itself did. My point was, if you're trying to market a product, you need to make it clear. And there were so many things that were confusing in there, and there were people that were referenced by name, and there were people on their website by name, and then those people showed up on my website as soon as I posted the discussion. And all I was trying to do was ask who they were. And I immediately got stonewalled, and then, you know, they got defensive, and then they started saying I was selling out the trucking industry. And all I was trying to do was get a couple questions answered, and I couldn't get any answers.
I see. Sometimes it's better if I'm not on the website or on the CV, you know.
Why is that?
Ignorance is bliss, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's so much good information. And then the other thing was I gave them multiple chances because I understand that not everybody really gets the social networking thing and the forums and the discussions. And I could tell by a lot of his posts he wasn't really understanding the whole concept. So I gave him multiple chances to start over. And every time I gave him a chance to start over, he just attacked my credibility again. It was just crazy. All right. Good talking to you. I haven't heard much back from that. So I have a feeling they've decided that, you know, the Let's Truck website is not a good place to market their product. And you know what? I didn't tell them they couldn't. We do have sponsors, but if you look through the forums, people mention products all the time, and they market products, and as long as it's not outrageous and it's not in your face and they're not spamming everybody, I don't mind products being mentioned in the forums and the discussions, even if they're competing products to stuff I already have, and this wasn't. So I didn't have a problem with it. Let's see. I've got just one more call to get to right now. If you want to talk about anything at all, I mean, it'd be nice if we kept it political, but you don't absolutely have to. I've got a couple topics I might get to. But if you've got something you want to talk about, if you've got a question, you know, if you've heard us talking about the fair tax, you've got any questions at all about how the fair tax would work, go ahead and press 1 on your phone. Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get you on. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing, man?
Good. What's up?
Not much. Hopefully you don't beat me up today, bro. I got a bad nosebleed last time, bro.
I'm not going to beat you up. I still think that we can make this work.
Absolutely. Look here. To answer Jeff's question, I am an owner operator, and it's a coincidence that he came on just before I did. But I am an owner operator, and it's catered to both owner operators and company drivers.
Good. That was one thing that I just wasn't clear about at all.
Right. The other thing, the reason why I called, it wasn't discussed me or my program. I want to ask you some because of your expertise in the industry and our years of experience.
Okay.
I know that you have probably discussed this already, and I probably missed it. So I want to, if possible, for you to reiterate what your answer would have been or was.
Okay. Go ahead.
And the question is in regards to the three last topics on your email that you sent me, which is the CSA 2010, the hours of service, and the EOB, the electronic onboard recorders.
Yes.
My question to you, Kevin, is these three things are, I personally can tell you that a lot of my good friends are no longer trucking, and it's not because everybody else is smarter than they are. It's because they refuse to comply with the DOT regulations that are up on us now. And as I put in the post before, the last post that I sent you, we can't drive the way we used to drive. You stated that you yourself had cheated on your logs back in the past, not all the time, but there were periods, as we all have and still do, cheat on our logs. And the question I have for you is, based on the CSA 2010, the hours of service, and EOB, what is the recommendation that are you giving drivers? Now, I understand you say you just get her done the best way you can, and I understand all that, Kevin. I really do. But, again, we can't drive the way we used to drive. So I guess the question I'm having – yes, sir.
No, I agree. And going back to 2004 when the hours of service changed, some of – and I – at that time I was running an accounting company, and I had about 300 clients who were owner-operators, and I would say that I lost 10 – which to me was a huge number. I lost 10 really good owner-operator clients before they ever changed the hours of service, because just the fact that they were changing them was enough to drive them out of the industry.
Wow.
And it turned out that it was a good thing for us, for owner-operators. We keep all the statistics on accounting, and what happened was, if you look at 2000 through 2004 prior to the change, then we look at the 4 years after the change, owner-operators drove less miles and made more money. So it wasn't the big deal that everybody made it out to be, and I felt bad for the people who got out of the industry when it got better. So let me address all three of these things, because even though they're tied in, they're also separate. And the reason I say that is CSA 2010, in my opinion, is a non-issue. I don't see it. It's a non-issue, just like the hours of service change in 2004 was a non-issue. We didn't see widespread all the negative things that everybody thought was going to happen from those hours of service changes. In fact, we didn't really. We all know the two biggest problems with the hours of service change. The split sleeper became way too complicated, which is part of what your product, I believe, addresses.
Well, can I clarify that to you real quick, Kevin?
Yeah.
My product just does not do just sleepers. It does everything.
No,
it does trip planning. It does fuel. You know, it keeps up with your fuel expenses. It has a whole whammy of things that that deals with our program. It's just not a sleeper program. So I just want to make that clear.
Okay. But that is one of the things that it helps you understand, correct?
it is one of the things, but as I train our drivers that are using our software now, that the split sleeper is just only a part, just a small part of the trucking industry. And you keeping complying with the DOT regulation, everything else, it all boils down into one big gigantic ball, and that ball is being able to make money in the industry while staying compliant at the same time. And the DOT regulation is just a small part of it. Knowing how to get to your next fuel stop, how much fuel you need to purchase, how much time it's going to take you to get there. Do you have the hours that are equivalent to that time? All of those are factors into, and also map. It also draws up your mapping system for you, so that you see where your hours of service end and at what truck stop that you need to stop at. So all these factors are coming together in our software to give the driver the big picture of what they need to do on every single trip. So it's just not a logbook, and that's the reason why we were telling you guys that you have to go to a class. And the reason why you have to be in class, and I'm not talking about the guys that knows what they're doing. If you know what you're doing, then the program isn't for you. It's just that simple. But if you do not know what you're doing, if you are just getting into the industry, that's who we are targeting. We're targeting the people that are already out here, because if they don't maintain their hours of service and are able to be compliant the way they should be, they're going to be out here just steering wheel holders. They turn the engine on, they start the truck, and they go down the road, and they're doing it because they have no concept of time and how much time they need to get to point A to point B, that they become unsafe on the highway. And what our system does, it takes a person who has 2 years' experience and give them 30 years' experience by using a program that they have to be trained on. And that's the only thing we were always saying throughout the whole entire process. Our system gives a person the ability to get the job done in a safe manner, and it's just that simple, Kevin.
Well, if that's what it does, great, but it's not that simple. Was part of the problem was I was trying to get the answers, and it wasn't that simple. That's why I was so confused. Now, when you mention fueling, and that's something that I am interested in, does it take into account state fuel tax rates?
You know what, Kevin, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm also doing a small video that I'm going to put on your site, and hopefully you guys will take a look at it. And in the video, I'm actually going to give my assertion as far as what the fuel gauge, what I take, my take is on the fuel gauge. And I can give you a short theory of what I think about your program. And first of all, I think it was wonderfully written. I just want to put that out there. I think it has a wonderful GUI interface, and it has wonderful concept. But the bottom line is that if the system does not enable drivers to, enable that data to get into the software without the drivers putting it in there. In other words, like I know that you have to put the mileage in there, to get into any miles. There should be a technique where that software would grab the ending miles for the drivers and automatically put it in there and calculate it.
It does. When you put in a new fuel receipt, it always brings your last ending mileage forward.
Right, and that's what ours do too. But what I'm saying is that it should, our system now, because we're doing some unique stuff with it. I don't want to put it all out there because I don't want people copying it. But the thing is that you have to have usability within the software, no matter what software it is, where it's simple to drivers to use. And what I think personally, Kevin, that would make it easy, and I don't care whether you put it in your system or not, because it is going to be in our system. And that is that it needs to be able to tell the driver, based on your location, where it's the nearest fuel stop is, which one is the cheapest one, how much fuel you need to get. Like if you're on an operator and you're in a certain state, we have to purchase fuel based on the fuel law. We have to get a certain amount of fuel in every state.
Stop right there, because I want to address that. Explain to me concisely, how we know which state to buy fuel in.
Well, first of all, you know that there are websites that tell you what the fuel prices are for every state. And based on that price, like Pennsylvania, which is where I am now, is one of the highest states to fuel at. So you only buy enough fuel in that state to satisfy that state. If you're going to go 300 miles.
Stop. You are absolutely wrong, 100% wrong. If you're teaching this, you're doing a disservice to your own operation.
No, hold on. I did not say that that's what I was teaching. I'm telling you what's on my, I have no idea how the system works. Only thing I know is based on what other owner operators told me. I'm not teaching. This has nothing to do with my program. So please
do not hold back
and say that this is in my program, because that's not
you're
what I'm saying in my program.
I just asked you to explain to me how you would know how much fuel to buy. And
okay,
the answer you gave me, the
okay,
answer you
with
gave
my
me
program,
is 20 years old.
With my program, Kevin, the only thing you do is that you put in the total miles that's in that you're going through the state. And based on those mileage, it will tell you how much fuel you need to purchase.
What is the criteria that it uses? This is critically important.
Your miles per gallon. Your miles per gallon is factored in with the total miles that you're driving in that state, which tells you the total amount of fuel that's needed for that state, Kevin.
That is absolutely wrong. I cannot believe that you're putting out a product that uses that criteria for buying fuel. That criteria is 20 years old prior to IFTA, and it will absolutely increase your fuel cost by doing that. It's wrong.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that, because I never said I was an expert. So and you know what, Kevin? That's why I'm trying to be cool. I mean, you can still blast me all you want to, bro. The bottom line is that I am talking to you in a calm fashion, and I'm not blasting your program, nor am I blasting you. So you want to talk to me, Kevin, you can talk to me. That's why I called. But the bottom line, brother, is that if there's something wrong that I need to correct, then by all means, I'm going to shut up and you tell me what I need to do to correct it. Because the only thing I'm doing, and I've done it with my truck, and I compare my cost with other people who are owner-operators and the way they buy fuel. And my numbers are not lying. And I'd be more than happy to show you my numbers, Kevin. I'm not speculating anything. I'm going off based on what my truck does. And because I'm not that, the only thing I did, Kevin, was create a program that deals with basically time management. The fuel thing is something that's added in there. So since you said that, I'm totally off the wall with it, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to check it out and find out if I'm really way off base, as you're saying I am. Because if I am, then I'm going to talk to my partner and we're going to revise it. But the bottom line is there's still a learning experience, and I'm going to be quiet and I want you to tell me, Kevin, how way off base I am.
Okay, I think the mistake you're making, and this is advice, is that you're trying to create a program that does too much, and you're creating things that you don't understand. If you understand...
You're only talking about one factor now, Kevin, okay? You're only talking about one factor, and that's the fuel factor, so let's keep it. You haven't seen the other program, and if you want to see it, I don't have a problem with showing it to you, but the bottom line is that you only see one factor of it, and that's what you're basing your opinion. The whole program is on your one factor. And that's fueling. So go ahead.
It's the one that is important. You brought it up and said it was in there. You said my program doesn't do it, and you're absolutely correct. It never will. I don't want it to do that. There are great programs out there like ProMiles. I teach this philosophy, and I have for years. And if you're going to add, if you're no, hold on.
If you call ProMiles, you find out ProMiles is the software we're using within our program. They have actually linked to our program. We have the mapping system I told you about. We use
The mapping is fine. Your explanation of fuel purchasing was
The fuel purchases is set up in ProMiles, as you already stated. I am not an expert on pool. I'm still learning, Kevin. I'm not going to sit out here and tell you. What I specialize in is time management. The other things are features. The fueling is features. Receipts is features. The type of counting system we have in there are features that we just added to the program. Do they need adjusting? Yes, Kevin. Do they need more professional opinions on it? Maybe. But the bottom line is the thing that is affecting us as drivers, because everybody are not owner operators. Every driver is not an owner operator, and we're addressing company drivers as well as owner operators. Those features that we put in there, and I'm gonna say it out, I'm gonna say it right here on the air, Kevin. I would be more than happy to go back and revise them, take a look at them, to see if the fuel factors are what they should be, and if not, then we will adjust them. But personally, we have great responses from the fueling. And basically,
That's because people don't understand this. This is one of the things that I struggle to teach people about. And the way you just explained it is the way we used to do it long before IFTA came along.
Okay, and tell me, how do you do it now?
The way you have to do it now is you have to find the base price of the fuel. You don't buy enough fuel in every state to cover your fuel tax, because fuel tax under IFTA will always work itself out. We get credits for every penny we pay in fuel tax. So I will always, and this is the way every owner-operator should buy their fuel, is they should buy all of their fuel in the states with the lowest base fuel price. You mentioned Pennsylvania. And sometimes Pennsylvania is one of the best places to buy fuel because of its high fuel tax.
Okay. Because of IFTA?
Because of its high fuel tax, correct. Now, not always. This changes every day and sometimes multiple times throughout the day, because we have to take the pump price of the fuel. We have to subtract out the state fuel tax to find out what we're paying for the fuel. And then we buy the fuel in the cheapest state, and there will be times where my trucks only run in two states, so I have a great example to use because it's simple. It doesn't get too complicated. My trucks only run in Florida and Georgia. My trucks never buy fuel in Georgia, and we run more miles in Georgia than we run in Florida. Because
so why is that you do not purchase in Florida? I mean, Georgia.
Because the fuel is more expensive, but not only if you understand how to buy it and what it really means. Let me give you an example from today. The average pump price in Florida today is $3.04 a gallon, but Florida's fuel tax rate is almost 32 cents. When I do the math, I'm paying $2.71 for my fuel. In Georgia, the pump price is $2.90, which looks like it's 13 cents cheaper. So people buy there because they don't understand this. But when we do the math, Georgia's fuel tax is only 15 cents a gallon. So I'm paying $2.78 for my fuel. I'm paying 7 or 8 cents more per gallon, even though it looks like I'm getting it cheaper. So we don't buy fuel to cover all of our miles in every state. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We don't buy in states where the fuel isn't cheap, and we have to calculate it on the real fuel price. So my advice is don't try to write a software program that is everything to everybody, because it won't be anything to anybody then. So if you're trying to cover drivers and owner operators, and you're trying to do fuel tax and receipts and accounting and time management and hours of service and split sleeper And I can tell you from experience, I've watched products like that crash and burn. Fuel Gauges does one thing. It calculates fuel mileage, and it tracks it really well. And it's never going to tell you where to buy your fuel. I shouldn't say never. There may be, because I've worked with ProMiles for years. They're a great company. There may be some links, but it will never be part of our software. When it becomes an accounting program, it will do two things, and it will do it really well. And that's really where software is going. So I would be very careful about putting in features that somebody doesn't understand. The advice to buy a little bit of fuel in every state to cover your miles is absolutely wrong.
But I understand what you're saying, bro.
Had it gone into the program, you would have been convincing people, because people will trust software.
Okay, Kevin, I did listen. I shut up and I did listen, brother. I didn't interrupt you, and I do have to interrupt you this one time here. Just like you said, your program is focused on one thing, and that's fuel, and how to fuel. And I'm almost sure that your fuel ratings are based on the people who are using your fuel meter. In other words, when they're comparing their fueling to other drivers or other owner operators, I'm assuming that these people are within your system, that are using your system. It's not abroad. So basically what it sounds like to me, and I could be wrong, okay, and I said again, I could be wrong. Obviously, I've been wrong about a lot of things. But the bottom line is that if I'm correct, that fuel system that you're basing and everybody is thinking or saying that they're saving a lot of money, I don't know what they're thinking or saying or not, and I don't know where they're actually saving money, but it's based on a system that is in-house, so to speak. In other words, you're not going. It's not a rating that's based across the country based on statistics of all owner-operators, but just on owner-operators that are using your system. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so that means that the if they are over-fueling, then that means that even if they were over-fueling, they may not be as over-fueling as much as other people who are not using the system to its full potentials.
Let me
stop you. Is that correct?
Let me stop you because that was something I saw in a video and I didn't understand. What does overfueling mean?
Okay, overfueling is basically you already went through it. So we just discussed that as far as the overfueling. The overfueling is simply telling drivers. So another thing that our system does is that you can set up your fueling based on your pay periods as well. And let me explain what I'm saying. If a driver was to fuel at the end, like our pay period is on a Monday. When the Monday comes, you do not fuel your truck up with fuel, because if you do, then it's going to eat into that profit for that week. So
let me stop you because I know where you're going here. And, boy,
okay.
I'll tell you what, I could not disagree with that concept more, because what you're doing is you're catering to the lowest common denominator. You're catering to the guy whose cash flow is so poor that if he fuels today, it's going to hurt his profit daily.
That is not true. That is not true, Kevin,
What you've done is you're forcing a guy into a fueling situation,
but
that
Kevin,
makes.
I said this is the way I fuel, brother, and we these guys are not greenhorns, Kevin. These are owner operators. They know how to these crank. Only thing I'm saying, Kevin, is that based on the way I've been fueling, and I do exactly what you're doing, and I may not be using the same calculations or the same formula as you're using. But and you obviously are an expert when it comes to fueling. I'm not debating that whatsoever, brother. But what I'm telling you, based on the knowledge that I have and my checkbook, last year I made over $200,000, and a large percentage of that money went to fueling. And the reason being, and the reason why I said, and I can compare notes, because I got the statistics from last year and the year before that, and I compare them what I'm doing this year. And that's the only thing I'm basing it on. Now, whatever calculations you want to throw in there, Kevin, by George, brother, throw it in there and help us out even more. I'm willing to learn anytime. That's one thing about me, Kevin. The reason why I got where I am today is because I do listen, brother, in spite of popular opinion.
Well, I am hearing you. Let me tell you, the first two things you've told me that your program does for fueling, I hate to keep being critical, but I'm going to be. It couldn't be more wrong. I mean,
I understand that, but our program isn't a fueling program. No longer is it solely a logging program. They are features. So if the features are wrong, Kevin, by all means, I'm going to correct them. That's what we do. We learn. We learn from each other as drivers. And if there's something in my program that is wrong, that is misleading, by all means, we're going to find it and we're going to correct it.
Well, and let me explain why. If I'm sitting in Florida on Monday and I'm looking at, and the program's telling me not to fuel on Monday, so now I'm going to wait until I get somewhere else, wherever that might be, I'm going to end up paying more for fuel than I should have. When I'm in a state with low fuel prices, base fuel prices, and we have to take the fuel tax out to calculate the base fuel price. I don't care if it's Monday or Wednesday morning, or I don't care if I get paid on a Thursday. None of that matters. If I want to make the most money possible, I buy my fuel based on the base fuel price. And I get as much of it as I can.
You're also basing that on two states. We go all
no,
over.
No, stop, stop. I'm not. I just tried to use that as an example
because
it doesn't get confusing. I could run it. I could do a trip right now from L.A. to Portland, Maine, and I could tell you exactly where you should buy fuel anywhere on that route based on this philosophy. And it would have nothing to do with how many miles I drive in each state. It would have nothing to do with when.
It has to do with the fuel pricing of whatever the state is that you're going to.
But it doesn't matter how many miles I put on that state. It doesn't matter. Absolutely doesn't matter, I'm telling you.
I'm listening to you.
I don't care how many miles I drive in a state. I don't care what my fuel tax in each state is going to be because I can't change my fuel tax. It is what it is. But I can change the fuel price that I'm buying. And that's what I need to look at. And if I'm sitting in a state, I don't care what day it is. I'm going to buy my fuel where I get the cheapest fuel. And this idea of, you know, if you buy it today and you don't get paid till another day and it hurts our cash flow is very, very short-term thinking, and it caters to the lowest common denominator, the guy that doesn't have enough money to buy fuel.
Well, you know what, Kevin, I'm not going to argue that now. If you want to talk about anything else about our program, I guarantee you, you won't win the argument. But when you're an expert in the area, I'm not going to argue with you, and I am listening to you. But here's one thing I can tell you with absolute certainty, and that is that during the comparisons of the years that I've been with the company I'm with now for 5 years, okay, and I've been using the program with the company for three of those 5 years. And these last 3 years, the first 2 years, I just fueled at anywhere that, you know, and we get discounts based on the company. You know, we go to a pilot, you know, we get a discount off of that too. So we don't actually pay the actual pump price. So we're basing all these numbers on that as well. And so we go on the dial or the there's a website that actually gives you all the fuel pricings in certain states. And you can even go to the ComData, who gives you all the fuel. I mean, ComData gives you pretty much of all the fuel. And there even is a website that shows you what each – and our company actually sent this to us, where we can see what the average fuel cost is per state. And based on that revenue, if you're going like if and I'm just using this as an example, Kevin, so please don't jump on me about this. But let's just say, for instance, that you're in California.
You got 1 minute. We're out of time.
Okay. I'm good. I'm good, man.
All right.
I really wanted to talk about, we didn't really get into, but and that was the CSA, because I want to know, since I got the 1 minute, let's go, if you don't mind, I'd rather go back to this discussion and let you end it on that. And that is that, as I told you in the beginning of the conversation, that a lot of my friends are or have lost their jobs based on the CSA, because companies are now telling drivers, you know, if you're not in compliance, you're going to lose your job. And these are old-time, these guys from old school that drove like you and I do. And you know.
I got to cut you off because I'm down to 60 seconds here. CSA 2010, I think, is a non-issue. I think people who are losing their jobs have to have a really, really bad driving record based on what I'm seeing. And we could do another whole show on the other things you wanted to talk to me about, hours of service and the OBRs, and maybe we will. It would be a good topic for next week's show. But I got to tell you, you need to have somebody look really hard at the advice you're giving on fueling in that program, because it could not be any more incorrect. I think if you guys really understand logging and hours of service, you should stick to logging and hours of service. And I don't know, I'm assuming you do, but boy, I can promise you, somebody has a real misunderstanding about fueling and you're giving really bad advice in that program. All right. Well, that's the great thing about this program. I said it was going to be wide open tonight. It was certainly wide open. We were all over the board. I want to thank everybody for joining me. Tomorrow night, Technology 30 Minutes will be on the live show on Sirius XM. I'll see you then. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.